The ravages of time.
Age yeah.
Catches up with us all. Fuck me, he's dead.
Cleveland Carbon 31 in a fucking less than a month. Fuck me, I know, right? With the attitude of a someone who should have learned life from by now.
Old enough to know better, young enough to not care.
Oh, fucking hell. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 10 of The Firm. And we're coming fresh off again, early morning start as usual. And yeah, this week we're going to be talking about, well, I kind of want to start off with this one, because we just uploaded last episode, and we were, oh, we wonder what Veteran Fang 2's like next day, bang, yeah. Next card. I'm going, well, shit, like, well, we've already given the opinion on what I thought it might be.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to say expecting, but you thought he might have some sort of, like, goalie tech?
My theory was that, yeah, they wanted to make the Church such a footballing team that they kind of wanted to make them the most extreme footballing team ever. Mm. And I thought a way to do that would be, like, Fang 2 would go from being like a damage dealer to, you know, a goalie, like,
yeah.
With maybe some unusual or weird goalie tech to kind of make him a bit more, you know, fresh,
yeah,
instead of, you know, rush keeper,
something, know, like gains yeah. a point of armor if he's within the goal,
yeah, something like that, or yeah, maybe, yeah, like, yeah, plus two tap when you're near the goal, yeah. Like that,
does extra damage to ball carriers,
yeah, he's like the counter puncher,
yeah, yeah.
But in reality, my other theory was that, you know, if Fang 2 for killer, you know, I know, right?
Yeah.
What a fucking killer. You know what? I could take or leave most of the card, right? But fucking free damage. Momentum 3 on 2 hit. I could just, I looked at that card and I'm like going, ground pound, take it or leave it. Even the knockdown double push, which is great.
Yeah, but it's not momentous, so.
Yeah. I'm like, because 9 times out of 10, you want the knockdown to get up a better result.
Yeah.
But when you're getting 3 damage on 2, I feel like unless the knockdown pushes you into the territory of, I'm getting my full playbook.
Get hitting that momentum 6, yeah.
Yeah. Even ground pound only gets you 2 momentum damage.
Yeah.
You feel like,
but it gets it on everyone. So like in the middle of a scrum, then that 2 could be, but then it hits yeah, your guys,
but then
as
your
well.
Friendly model and all that shit. I'm half, that, yeah, that for me, that unless you open with ground pound, you're like, oh, I'll get 2 damage, knock down and momentum. Then I've got even, then I can just guarantee the 3 damage.
Yeah.
Unless you're windling a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Unless you're just beating the shit out of Keener or Windle. Yeah, if I actually get momentum 3 or 2, fucking hit.
That's I think that's like, a lot of people seem to be getting focused around the non-momentous 2 on 1, which I mean is great, because how many times have you rapped and not been able to do anything to a tough hard model?
Yeah.
You know, like, on a wrap, you're going to be hitting that momentum 6, non-momentous 2. But, well, that's just with a wrap of 1. But, like, that, oh, momentous 3, 2 columns.
Yeah. Like, you only get 3 influence. Bang, fuck for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, the fact that you can walk up to a model and you kind of guaranteed 9 damage. I know, like, in the world of die,
you know,
guaranteed and whatever. Like, 5 tack isn't spectacular. Fuck me, I'll take it.
Yeah, when you need 2 hits. Yeah.
Yeah, like, when you need 1 hit, really. Like, I don't think if I, even if I had a, like, if I have a really bad day with, like, if I go, you know what, I need this damage, right? I'm going to put 4 influence on Chaska, you know, or JCar. I need that damage. Now, JCar is probably going to get 2 damage. But the thing I like about JCar, right, 4 influence, if you only get 2 hits on every one, you can do 8 damage.
Yeah.
Fang 2 for walking, 3 hits. If you get 2 hits, you can do 9.
Yeah.
And I get a bit more of a momentum edge. And obviously, there's other shit I can do with JCar. But just as a method of comparison, like, if Chaska goes in and only gets a hit, I walk away with 3 damage.
Yeah.
You know, after all, 4 damage if I walk away with only 1 hit on every one. Yeah, the fact that Fang 2 can get 1 hit on every playbook and just walk away with damage hurt for a model.
Yeah.
If Archangel, half health. If Akmatagi, less than half health. And they're good defense model. And you're not on 5 tack. I just need a hit.
Yeah.
Just a hit. A man, like, if somebody can, like, Grudge Match is going to do wonder for Fang 2.
Yeah. He is, like, the only source of damage for them, really. Like, the rest of the team is so football-focused. You've got, Harry and Benny are the only two that seem to be not at all bothered about the ball, with Spigot being a nice sort of bridge.
Oh, yeah, big and beautiful, just good at everything. Good damage, good kick, good stat, good heroic play. Good armor.
Yeah.
Like, between... That's the thing I like about Spigot and Fangtooth. They clearly work very well together.
Imagine that ground pound setting up flawed city.
You know,
get the pushes around so, like, Spigot's mellow zone can cover a couple of guys.
Yeah, they get each other up well on either activation. Mm. Spigot comes in, does a bit of damage, knocks him down, helps Fangtooth come in there for that big swinging dick. And the other way around, Fangtooth does a bit of damage, potentially knocks him down. But, yeah, then Spigot coming in with... Even if you go, I'm not going to set knock down, I'd rather take the free. If you walk away with 9 damage on the model, Spigot coming in with a crowd out, and it's like, Spigot doesn't need that many hits. If you only need 3 hits on quick attack to get a knockdown, then you're getting into that good territory.
Mm.
Like, if they're already on 9 health, they've already taken 9 damage. Like, the average health of a model is about 15. They're only on crit.
Yeah.
Spigot doesn't... I won't even... Half time count down, not even 10.
Don't think I'd even take the knockdown.
I just try and get that. I'm just trying to edge them out. Together, they can take on a good chunk, a fair few models. Like, there aren't that many models in the game who, like, Velocity and Angel, who can nimble up and give them a bit of a hard time. Or, you know, Knobhead, who can do unpredictable movement, that kind of thing. They're a good power duo.
Yeah.
And it turns the Church into a comfortable 2-2 team.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? That's it. Because they've gone from being that complete 3-0, like 3-0 all the way, to now they can quite comfortably achieve that 4-1, 2-2.
Yeah. And again, when you factor in Brickgate.
Maybe not 4-1.
When you factor in Brickgate, she can get the extra VP. Mm. So she gets, you know, a couple of goals. If she gets a goal with a bomb, you go from one takeout and a mascot. She gets 2 goals for the VP thing, which isn't completely off the card. Like, what else are you going to be spending that influence on?
Mm.
Like, if Brickgate is scoring your goal, you know, who is doing it? Other than all the other main strikers on your team, they're kind of almost backup.
Yeah. When Mist is your backup striker.
Yeah. When you have to settle for just a mere 10-inch of movement.
Yeah.
And a 3-8 kick.
Because the Church will be throwing out that 2-inch dodge for him.
Oh, yeah. He'll be getting the Shadow Like. He'll be getting the Guild of In. Cover of Darkness?
But it's that one where he gets the extra for being near a Solthesia.
Yeah.
Which will finally start paying off for him.
Yeah, he'll get the 2-inch dodge. Then he'll get the extra 2-inch movement for fighting cover in one scenario. Run off. Charging from Fokker, getting a double dodge.
But
if Brickett gets that a couple of, you know, with a bomb, put you on that 10 VP, bigger Fangtooth. Fuck it, give up the goal now. Pride can get in the mix. They can just start closing in on the model. And you know, well, when you're on that last takeout scenario where people go, fuck it, just everyone piling on that one model. And you know, there's only so much of that hole you can plug.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a good killer.
Who do you think your 6 would be?
If I were to play Church, hypothetically,
and
to be honest, I'm a guy, I love my killer, but I am tempted to give the Church a go. But my crew would be Brisket, Pride, obviously.
Yep.
Mist.
Yeah.
I really like Mist. Good movement, good everything. Bigot, Fangtooth, and probably Harry the Hat, just to be annoying.
Cheeky Harry, interesting.
Yeah. For me, Mist and Brisket do their job, you're fine. My general theory on strikers, if you're going for a 3-0 team, I think everyone has to be a striker. You know, go big or go home. But when you can actually got a couple models who can do good damage, for me, you start weeding out strikers really quickly. Spigot, you can basically, and I hear that, like, Spigot, you can a striker.
Yeah.
He's more fucking flexible.
He's like a proper model, properly an attacking sort of midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah, and Fangtooth can be used in a good way to secure the ball as well. If you're in a situation that ain't quite making sense, the fact Fangtooth has a shit kick is not even the point. If you pass to him, he can just kick the ball out to the middle of nowhere and try and put it back.
Yeah,
he kind of, like, you get like a reset goal kick of him. I think, like, yeah, you just need to get him the ball. He can, for one momentum, just get it out. Get it away from the other team, if you like. Really fucking good. So yeah, big up Fangtooth, Harry the Hat. I'd have on there just to have Molotov going. Fuck a movement. Get a bit of damage in early. For that team, for Big Up and Fangtooth, getting Molotov out early every turn, getting one in for one. To try getting that burning out earlier, fucking with movement, getting a bit of damage on the board, then couple of points of damage will be the difference that make the difference on that team.
Yeah,
I really think Fangtooth for them guys is going to leave people on 1 and 2. And like, okay, if you've got an Angel floating around, you know, already burning, already taking the damage, now I just need a couple of hits.
Yeah,
and Harry the Hat's got 2-inch melee. He can help with teamwork in for it, and you just got, you can help crowd out and push people around.
Yeah.
Help get the knockdown as well, the mental knockdown on three.
Really good support piece.
Yeah, just help them get out. Then they'd be almost like my power trio. Harry just to hang around.
Yeah.
Be annoying.
Just causing trouble.
Push people back to where they're. Because that's the thing about Fang 2. Floor. 2-inch melee, great, but you can get away from it if you want. Harry'd be my counter to that, going, oh, no, you don't. Get back here. If you try and parting blow me, I'll knock you down, you know. Well, hit me. Make the mistake of hitting me. Yeah, get 2 MP. You're like, yeah, he's just really good together.
Yeah.
How are you feeling on that Fang 2 for the minute?
I just think he's really solid model. And I think that the church have started to lean a bit more towards the way I play the fish. You know, with that sort of Corsair like beat list. You know, I've got some people are going to be out there scoring goals, but then I've also got the option, which I didn't think that was the way church was going to go. I thought it was going to be all goal scoring all the time. You know, I really like their sort of dynamic plays they can have with the ball. The ball's always moving. Mm. It's nice to know that's always going to be there. And even like Fangtooth, who's clearly the teeth of the team, has got that pass.
Yeah,
which is great. That pot belly pass.
Yeah,
which is awesome. But I mean, the thing for me right now is all of the church models are out. Well they're not out. The church cards are out. Why can they still play for Union?
Yeah. Oh. All part of the game. Like, okay, they've got that rule on Fang 2 card that the Rising Anger can't get. Red Fury can't get you, sorry. My men are 4 on. Fuck it. You can't actually really can still get Blake Owen, can't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, my men are 4 on 2. Fuck.
Yeah.
Just a good job he can't get a fucking Red Fury. Yeah, that'd be one activation, bang, killing motherfucking left, right, and center. But yeah.
Oh,
man. The only problem I have at the minute, I've got two sides. A guy who appreciates the technical aspects of the game.
Mm.
I like Fang 2 for the rule, and I like a card. Kind of on the kind of more fun side of the game, for lack of a better word. You know, the kind of interesting to like you know, I've said before, I like one of the things I like about building a team is making them feel like they've got their own identity and their own thing. Like the team makes sense in a way. Instead of just going, I like these models because they're the best.
Yeah.
I like them to look like a team. Like they work like they, you know, not fluffy, I don't keep up with the fluff and lore. But yeah, like
it looks right.
Head cannon almost.
Yeah.
And the thing with Fang 2 from the church, I kind of really wanted them to, even though football isn't my thing, I kind of wanted them to go pure football to make that their thing.
Yeah.
I feel like with Fang 2 from Spigot, I can imagine Steamforge getting on a meeting and going, they need a way to actually kill people. Free hero team, they know more than I do on season 4 and everything else. But it wouldn't shock me if they went, free hero team, hard to play, hard to manoeuvre. And if they're that hard to play, people won't want to play them.
Yeah.
And, but I kind of feel like that would have been... I feel like they've almost given up something that's really unique about them.
I'm a bit surprised, because it feels like they almost played chicken with themselves. Like, it seems like they're 3-0 team.
Yeah.
And they've been saying, like, yeah, well, the ball's going to be in play a lot more. Because it's not like they've set up a 3-0 team knowing that if someone can kill the ball really easily. Mm. If the ball is going to be... like in play more in season 4, which is like the suggestion that's going around at the moment, then it's almost like, why have they sort of done that bait and switch, that sort of they've dived out at the last minute, like, no, we need to give them a way to kill something.
I don't know, the more I think on it, the only thing I can think of, I ask wonder if when they released the original church, you know, crew, they were like, okay, we'll put these out there and kind of get a feel for how people react with the pure football team, and then Spigot and Fang 2 coming for like the patch. Mm-hmm. So maybe a lot of people playing them and going on the forum or whatever, or, you know, getting in touch with Steamforge going like, love the team, but free hero quite difficult to make work.
It's one of the things where it's you can so easily deny a 3-0 team.
Yeah.
If someone is quite clearly a 3-0 team, there is no way they're going to get takeouts. It's just the amount of time it would take them. You can just keep healing that back up. They haven't got the burst to do it.
Well,
then
yeah.
All you do is deny the ball. You just take the resource away that they require to score. You can't take up the takeout option off the table for a team that, like, for a 2-2 team, you know, it might be a bit more of a grind, but a 2-2 team can sometimes play the 4-1 game if absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
But 3-0, like, I don't know where I'd get takeouts if I ran my original shark list.
Well, it's literally a case of five models gang up on a guy, yeah, and the attack you roll is so good that you can't help
them
but
ones
get,
add up.
Yeah, the two and then the one. And I think they might have gone not too overboard. It's not like if Fang Tooth were, like, if Fang Tooth were on the Butcher or the Brewer, he'd be, you know, ridiculous. But on the Church team, he's the best. He's literally the guy who can do the most damage.
Yeah.
In an optimal way.
Yeah.
Like if you get close playbook, which most of the time you're not going to get. Very rare you can actually hit that six. But he is the guy who can put out the most damage on a good day. And okay, when you factor in shit like Crowd Out and Grudge Match, there are going to be times when he's running through motherfuckers. I don't know how many times I'm going to end up saying this before Season 4 actually comes out, but I really need to see the Season 4 changing.
Flat out. We're actually recording on the day of the playtest event.
Yeah.
Which we were sort of umming and ahhing about going to, but I think we decided to err on the side of caution and not go.
Yeah.
In case, like, we were just like doing the spitballing and just let slip something that we shouldn't, you
know? Yeah, I mean, we are recording the shit, and it's hard to just keep go on a mic and talk for an hour and a half and go, we will never ever mention anything we've looked off seen today.
Yes, we thought
even hard to go like, oh yeah, we'll talk about killing the ball, or go, oh yeah, but you will be able to get away with that for long.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can almost kind of go, or if I said, like, you know, oh, when you put the ball here, that'd be a good way to kill the ball, but, you know, that won't be a thing for long. So, yeah, you can kind of infer what we'd know about Season 4 by what we'd left out. It kind of just got to put your hands into it, haven't you?
I thought we'd just play it safe. Yeah. But yeah, it looks like he's going to... Oh, I would have loved to have gone. I'd love to see what them changes are.
Yeah, I am super curious. Really that, like, fucking curious.
I think there might be a couple of giveaways that, like, not in the way that, I'm not saying that people who are going today are going to immediately come out and, like, get on Twitter, just by their reactions to certain things, I think that you're going to be able to see changes, like, because if you, it's hard, because if you know that something's coming, then it's hard to not be a bit pissed off when, like, someone gets away with something that you know they can't do.
Yeah, like, well, imagine playing with a game plan deck and then going back to plot card, and you're like, man.
Well, we did, didn't we? Because when we went to that other one, we played with game plan decks, and then, like, we sort of came back and we were just like, should we just stop playing with plot cards because it's a vastly inferior system?
Yeah.
So we just ditched it, but, like,
how long do you think it'll take him to get tired of game plan deck and big game thing, like, going, like, when new game plan deck coming out? Fuck it, I've got no seven. What's going on? Where, you know, you're going, like, I missed the day for knee slider.
Oh, God, yeah.
I missed the day for fucking 10-inch dodge.
Losing knee slider was like a nerf to shark.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, like, that feeling of, man, you know, I do the same thing all the time. I play a certain game, whichever they could be. But when I do something, and I go to another character, and I, like, lose, or something different, my first thought is, like, if I'm playing my main character, I wouldn't have to put up with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think that'd almost be like that, where you go, like, oh, man, Season 4, so fucking good. And then you get janked or, like, some bullshit with a kick happens, and you go, motherfucker. Come October, you won't get away with that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, like, if, because they're doing, like, half the guilds at this one and half the guilds at the next one. So if you've gone to it and it's your main guild, like, if I'd gone, because it's the fish one today, so, like, I'd have been, like, looking at my cards between now and October just going, you aren't pulling your weight. You aren't pulling your weight because you can't do what you can do. Yeah. Why can't you do what you can do?
Well, imagine if it went the other way around. You hear all this shit about Season 4, and you're like, fuck, this is my team so bad. I bet they enjoy them while they're still good.
Go to tournaments every single weekend.
You go, oh my god, non-momentum 2-on-2 hit. Boy, I'm going to miss that. Just like going, like, oh man, a double push. Man, I can't wait until Shame in the new team can push and can dodge and don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So you get tied up in melee, and that's the end of the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss the time when everyone didn't have that inbuilt character player where they get to add free ball to the pitch. Yeah, every goal points now. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping that... I think the changes will be good. I am actually really looking forward to them. More than the changing to the game, I'm looking forward to the changing in the guard.
Yeah. Okay, I think that we are going to see things like... I really, really think that Kraken is going to have some sort of killing the free ball. You know how, like, Cinder can shoot it?
Yeah.
I really think he's going to harpoon it. I really do.
You know that kill the ball character play? I really fucking hate that.
Mm.
I really, really hate that. I won't mind it on Kraken as much. Because, you know, Kraken and kind of... he's only free influence. The fact you're already giving up the one, you kind of already hamstring his potential.
And the odds are you've probably got sprint to it. Because 4-inch jog, 6-inch sprint. So you're spending 2 of his 3 influence to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, on Jack, like, but on stuff like Gunder, he's already quite good. Not like, not good, but definitely an average. Where like Herf can give her a couple of net hits and she's like, you know what, if I get hit I tackle that ball from 3 inches away and I can do whatever. Her ability to control the ball is so much better and she's so much more flexible.
Yep.
She's got unpredictable movement and shit like that. Yeah, the fact that Kraken's such a wet fish in some way that yeah, I wouldn't mind kill the ball as much on him, but generally I'm not a big fan of that character play.
Well, I think that comes off the back of the way our last few games have been going. You've taken to not snapping the ball or to taking possession and then unsnapping it.
But the weird thing is, on leaving the ball unsnapped, it still leaves me vulnerable in other ways.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about kill the ball isn't the, like, isn't the actual killing of the free ball itself. Like, tether ball, for example, I quite like an ability. How much does kill the ball cost? Does it do? It fucking better be 2. 1! Right, I'm fucking not kidding, right? Tether ball costs 2. Fucking 2 influence to tether ball, and that's just you're within 6 inch and you get the ball on a free ball. And like, how often does that really fucking come up?
Yeah.
Kill the ball, 1, and you get a fucking goal kick. You know how good.
What's
a fucking
range on it?
6 inch, came with tether ball. Yeah, remove free ball, and the model controlling player will go for a goal kick. You know how fucking good a goal kick is. How is that fucking 1? Fucking black.
The firm's rallying cry, hashtag FTS.
Yeah.
Fuck the Smiths.
I won't mind as much, right? But like, okay, Salvo, who thinks like Bentham can do a free character play.
Yeah.
But tether ball compared to kill the ball, then side by side, universally fucking better.
Well, tether ball, you gain possession of it. Tether ball, you gain possession of it, and it's that model's activation still.
But you can still kind of make it go your way. Like a goal that the range you have on goal kick from your entire fucking goal, then factor in the extra movement you potentially get on top of it. Fuck, like if you're both fighting for a free ball and like, okay, if you literally want to go from killing the ball on their kind of the pitch to your kind of the pitch, the goal kick again is flexible. Like possession just is possession. It's not like, you know, the secret fucking ultra tech Calvo getting out of it. You know, he just gets the ball. If you're lucky, he doesn't have to move for it. But if it's within 6 inch anyway, like you're giving up the 2 influence, you basically go in tether ball sprint shot best. You do it, maybe jog and an attack, maybe a free character play for a dodge, you know, like you've really got to, but the additional range on that killing the ball, then that 10 inch kick from your own goal, like yeah. And okay, you, on goal kick, on the counter goal, usually you have to be kind of really fucking unlucky not to quite get the ball you want. Unless you're really pushing your luck, you know, you're like, you're trying to thread the needle and go, I really hope the ball goes
in. Yeah.
And I've had a couple like that where, thank god for fucking, what's it called, like path of least resistance or something.
You mean where it like lands on top of,
if it had to choose between, if it can't land, you know, where it's meant to, it lands like the nearest point closest. It doesn't go beyond it. So like, I've tried to kick and it ended on the 4, and I'm going, oh shit, if it ends on 4 I'm fucked, but it couldn't quite make it. It had to end on like 2. Going like, yeah, fuck Jake, I've got it now, off you go. Go, fuck it up, I'd have to move that ball, I'd be in real trouble. But yeah, like, stuff like tether ball, I quite like it. Like, okay, I'm really warming up to, unless you can get a goal or kick that turn, I'm really starting to think possession of the ball is a bit overrated.
I think that might be just because of the team I'm playing. I think it's the fact that it's still the Corsair 6. The only difference is I've swapped out Sakana for Vet Sakana. So a bit of revision. It's Corsair, Tentacles, Kraken, Jack, Angel, Veteran, Sakana. So on that team, I've got 2-inch melee coming out my ears. Angel is the only one who doesn't have 2-inch melee. She's got a tackle on 1.
Yeah.
Veteran Sakana, tackle on 1. That ranged tackle on 3. And Corsair's rough seas.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to struggle into that, I think. Like, they are the team out of all teams at the moment, I think, that specialise in taking the ball back off a player.
Yeah.
That's why you're finding it safer just to drop it. And because Because if you're, like you said, you were saying to me earlier, if you're in possession of it, it means that the size of that, like if Hearn's got it compared to leaving it free, then there's a 2 inch instead of a 1 for the ball to be collected. Well, so I can just wander up.
Well, thinking on that Leonic tournament again, when I played against Matt, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Where I like going, whoa, I can take the pressure on the ball, but I'm not going to. He had Piper and Bonesaw around. And the way the kind of picture lined up, he almost had like a wall of his own model. We had like a match, a model. And where the ball ended up, if I'd had it on JCAR, that, okay, when a model takes possession of the ball, it increases the range of where the ball is.
Yep.
And not just by the model itself, by the melee range of, you know,
the attacker.
Your,
yeah.
But the fact you've got, if possession of the free ball was tied to your melee range, I wouldn't do it as much. I'd go, well, fuck it, I'm going to make him spend an influence just to get the attack back. But because you have to be within an inch, if you're a Corsair or, you know, a Fukana, 2-inch melee tackler, and, you know, I've got JCAR around, when JCAR picks up the ball, he increases the range of collecting the ball from 1 inch on a position that I can choose, basically, to 2-inch all around him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and not to mention, sometimes a lot of tackles are momentum.
On my team, yeah.
Yeah, in a way, I'm really warming up to leaving the ball floating. Unless you guarantee to pick it up, no problem.
Yeah.
But sometimes, in a lot of situations I'm finding, having it just floating around, it's actually really hard to deal with. Not in a kill the ball thing, well, I mean, just in a, it's there.
Well, especially because when you put it, when you're putting it, like, literally base to base with someone like Hearn, you've really got to do a bit of moving around to not be engaging so you can snap it.
Yeah.
Like, when I come in, like, if I've trying to run off on a goal run, I'm looking for straight lines to get my maximum distance. If I'm having to curve round to, so I'm not engaging someone so I can actually snap the ball, it's making it really difficult.
Yeah, I'm really half and half. Really half and half on it. I think it
depends on the matchup.
It does.
One of them things, it just completely depends on the matchup. If you're playing into like Butcher's 1-inch melee city, it's probably best to keep a hold of it.
But even then, speaking of Kinder, because she's got Hotshot, she's effectively got tether ball with a player.
Which
fucking, yeah, Herf comes in.
Her tackle's quite high up though.
That's where Herf comes in though. Plus 2 net hit, no problem. You go from needing 3 hit to, I just need a hit, basically. I'll bonus time that shit. Bang out of the ball.
It's the problem with Targi's got that hot shot with that quite high tackle.
Yeah, but you don't have a mean getting out from it, really. You need singled out or ice by, preferably both. And even then, you kind of, I don't know. For me, it's really hard to make the Targi work. I like it as an option.
Yeah.
Again, I will never get no 2 more options.
Yeah.
But nowhere near reliable.
Speaking of the Targi, I noticed that when you were getting your models out that you've got a couple of the Falconer cards. Are you thinking of changing your 6 at all?
Nah, not really. I've been thinking on this a fair bit, and maybe because the way I played other games, and I generally don't like, I always play low tier characters, and I quite like that. For me, it kind of, I don't know how to put it, you kind of play the more, I don't know how to put it without, I'm having a really hard time finding a word of it, the more pure version of the game, in a way. If for example we're playing chess, and I get to choose, you know, to bring, I can take out 2 of my pawns and make 2 of them bishops, just for the laugh of it, and the other guy has to play a pawn, obviously increase my chance of winning. Like, that's better than having all pawns. I've got 2 extra bishops, I've got great movement pieces, but I'm not playing as much with the rules. I feel like I'm enjoying the game less, in a way. And I think that's the siren call of a lot of better, and I really do use that in big quotation marks. There are very few models in the game I think are absolute trash to the point where you can't bring them in a team. And the farmer for an exception, because the way their team formulate, if you bring all Reaper, you have a shit team. If you bring all Planter, just have a shit team.
Yeah.
Not really much you can do with that. Not saying it's impossible, but, you know, it's not a good look. For me, Minerva and Matagi in the Hunter, the good model. Matagi's really good. Like I said, he opens up a whole new world for the opening turn, and Minerva's great. But I think I've got this paranoid thing at the moment where I'm going, like, I've played well with the team I've got.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and you think going, oh, if I have better models, surely I'll do even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and half me wondering, like, do I Do the game come from naturally to me? Because the team I've got makes me think about the game more. I can't just go, this great model gets this great thing.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm, you know, great. I don't. Oh, well, end of turn. But, like, because I've got situational model, it makes me think about situations more. And I can't quite decide, yeah. I'm in a bit of a chicken-egg moment at the minute with my team. Yeah. I'm, like, going, yeah, do I play better because I've given myself an unusual team that I kind of, at this point, I've kind of become really attached to them in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the... I don't like my team because I think the rules are great and they formulate even particularly necessarily well. I like my team because they're a bit unusual. People don't play that team. And they kind of feel more like mine. My crew. And again, I play like that in another game. This is my character. Well, dude, he's shit to you. Play the new DLC character that just came out, King Ridiculous. Oh, fuck that. I like the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I play a better version of the game. I don't feel like I enjoy the game more, thinking about it more. Like, my best game for Guild Ball is the one where I'm, like, scratching my head going, how the fuck am I going to get out of
this? Yeah.
And obviously the very best game for the ones where you were able to think about it and turn it around. Like, mm-hmm. How do you... That's the thing. I half wonder if the reason you play better is because, like, when I push you onto this weird team, it wouldn't have shocked me if you're gone, you know what, I really don't like him. Fuck him. Like, crack him for thinking shit. He dies all the time. You pushed him off the ball, like, fucking 8 times. Jack, I've had, like, one push kill. No, fuck this. Thinking shit.
Mm.
It wouldn't shock me if half the reason you play better is because you feel like you're... Your crew, Pokemon style, you know, like Ash Ketchum, Hanking team, and he's thinking like he rallying from fucking shit crew of like Pokemon and like bring it out.
It sounds stupid, but when we went to their tournament at Leodis, there was that there was a moment when we were like everyone was filling in their like rosters, and they for some reason it was an old roster slip or something, so it only had 9 slots on it, not the 10. And a few people were saying, "Well, what do we do?" You know, obviously the answer was just write it underneath.
Yeah.
But like there was a brief moment of like it was early, it was a weekend. You know, we're at a tournament. There was a brief moment of, "Oh, what do we do?" You know, instead of just writing it out. And I said, "Oh, what's the problem?" And someone said, "Oh, you can only put 9 in your roster. The sheet says you can only put 9 in your roster, not 10." I said, and as like jokingly, I said, "Why have you got 10?" You know, because like, I think like in our sort of extended local area, we've started to like people start to know now that that's how we play. You know,
yeah,
these are my 6, run at me. You know, so it was a bit of a, like people sort of had a bit of a joke. Someone just went, "Oh no, you know, you are allowed more models." You know, so I think that's part of it as well. Knowing that like no, that it's got to the point where people know this is how we play.
Yeah,
people, like we can sort of take ownership of that as it is. There are probably people listening just going, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, you had that game Vengeance, didn't you? Where you lost your fucking game to Jeff Mountain and he turned around and went, and I half wonder if that fucked you up a bit. I know you said you brought your 10 the next day and you did better, but I half wonder if that would just do a rest and resetting. And you know, you had like a clean day. But that thing of like going, oh no, you really need to get your 10, you need to play the 10 mind game. And my, like, going my mind game almost, is like, there's my pick. Go, like, I said it before, go ahead, counter pick me, it'll make it even funnier when I beat you.
Yeah,
like it'll. I like going there. My pick. I live and die by this. I hope you try and counterpick them.
Yeah,
like make this game as hard for me as possible. It just makes the victory more satisfying. And I don't know. The incontent, I think, has like real psychological benefit to it. These are my guys.
Yeah,
and they like they're riding with me into battle, and I'll fucking drag them with me. I don't know, you don't think about that when you go, well, you're just fucking models, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? But I really do think it makes a difference. Like, you know that old thing of like going, you play better when you've got really nicely painted model.
Yeah,
it's like, I do think there's an element of truth to that. Like, not in any kind of real fucking tangible super way. I'm not going to give a shit guy greatly painted model and he's cleaning everyone's clock, but I do think that there are little things that have a knock on and cumulative psychological effect that end in playing better. It may not be a huge amount better. It might be only 5% better, but if 2 VP is all you need on a game, that 5% might be the thing that knocks you over the edge. And again, I know for a fact I've played against people when I've dunked my kick down and gone, there you go, I'm not doing the whole, I'm not going for the rigmarole of Captain Mascot. To be honest, I almost got like the time it takes. I just like going like, oh yeah, there you go, go knock. I know for some people it's really put them on the back foot. I know they're going like, what? Almost like it's like a strategy.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just going, that guy really.
Well, really, it's laziness.
Well, I know it's weird, but it's almost like it doesn't occur to them that I just might really like my team.
Mm.
Like, and I think a lot of people, yeah, act as if they're check piecing and go, like, I think this guy's really good, that guy's really good, that guy's so terrible. For me, like, a legitimate reason to bring Vetter and Hearn is that I really like the model.
Yeah.
But I really like original Hearn, and I really like the original Hearn model. But if the original Hearn model was shit, I'd probably play a Vetter Hearn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I really do like that model. Super cool fucking bow. Super cool.
Vet Hearn with that, like, bone... with that jaw spear.
Yeah, that jaw spear. And he's got, like, that talisman in his hand. And he's got that, like, rugged cloak and one fucking, like, one leg makes you want Michael Cole.
There's part of me sort of wishes that, like... I mean, there's nothing stopping you doing it in casual, but even in competitive, there's part of me that goes, like... When there's two models for, like, the same character... Like, the perfect example, Spigot, right?
Yeah.
There's three models for Spigot now, when Season Spigot comes out. I really like the Season Spigot model.
Yeah.
But one of the teams I've been thinking of going back to trying is Brewers, because I really like the idea of a Tapper, Scum, Pint Pot, Spigot, Hooper, and... someone else.
Stoker?
Mash.
Mash.
I really like the idea
of Chameleon and Predictable Movement. God, that's fucking good. Yeah,
I just love the idea of that that sort of team. But and the thing is, I really like the third Spigot model, so I don't see why in a tournament, if when drafting, I went, this is original Spigot. This is original Spigot. I'm using the original Spigot card. This is the Season Spigot model, but I'm using the original Spigot card. Can we both agree this is original Spigot?
Yeah.
But like, I understand it. I understand where people come from when they say, but oh, the silhouette, and oh, in the heated moment, you might not recognise it. But like,
unless you literally know all the cards off by heart, where you go, oh yeah, Veteran Spigot. Like, I don't know. I'm a big proponent of a guy should be able to show up bare metal model, put them on the table, and be cool.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm a big fan of proxy. I'm a big fan of conversion. I don't like that it's a tournament rule, basically. And I get it, right? Steamforged need to make money. They need to sell the bloody model.
Yeah.
I totally get it on that level, right? But if I really, really like a model from... And again, there are people who have done conversion for allowed.
Yeah.
That's the thing that kind of annoys me. Like, you can do a conversion and completely re... Like, there's a guy on a Gub who did like a Japanese conversion of the Mako.
Oh, they look so good.
Yeah, and like, yeah, Brick was like a sumo wrestler. And he looked something different. He could have been a Bushido model for all I know. Yeah. That might not even be Brick, but you understand it.
Yeah.
Like, you know that's the model. Again, on theory, I get it, right? You see a guy who looks like Veteran Spigot, you go, oh, that's Veteran Spigot. I forgot that's original Spigot. But I'm honestly of the opinion, if that's the kind of thing that's tripping you up, you're likely going to lose the game anyway.
Yeah.
They're just out.
Oh shit, did you see the photos of that Marvel team from Vengeance?
No.
Oh shit, I'll have to find it. They look so good.
Fucking
it was like, I think they won Best Painted, because like, it would have been a travesty if anyone else had. They were like, beautifully, fully converted. Like, they looked so good. But again, at a glance, you knew who it was.
I remember going to a Final Fantasy fan festival one time and had a bunch of art contests. You know, like a bunch of different categories.
Yeah.
And one of them was like a scene or something, like draw a scene.
Yeah.
From a, and they're all perfectly adequate pieces of art put up. And I was going to enter it, actually. But I was aching and I forgot last night. But on that one particular topic, they're all these great, like, okay pieces of art, you know, really, between each other, a real big toss-up. But there's one fucking gorgeous, mega-like picture. Like, going, that guy has fucking won. In fact, he won so much, if he doesn't win, I'll be angry on his behalf. I'll start a riot. One of my favourite comments, one of my favourite from that competition, well, it's like a 5-year-old who'd done like an MF Paint picture. I know, even I would go like, man, if it weren't for that spectacular picture, that little kid should have it. But, like, yeah, if that 5-year-old gets that, I'll beat the 5-year-old up, take his trophy and give it to that guy who deserved it. Man, yeah, I always hate that in a competition. You know, when you go to a Guild Ball tournament and they've got like a beautifully painted, like, the only thing I get back out of that is going like, oh, they're lovely. Is that a commission? Yeah, it better be, motherfucker.
Putting it for Best Painted, you fucking better not be.
Just showing, visibly crossing it out. Fraudulent, DQ'd from Best Painted. I am very much of, like, for me, in a game like this, it's already hard enough to get people into tabletop game, and the few barriers possible, and I get why the rules are the way they are. I'm not saying change them, I'm not saying they're wrong.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like, again, with the tournament we're running, if people show up with perfect tokens, if people show up with paper dolls, whatever, are you, honestly, if you're showing up and you're looking to get into the game, it's almost like only a matter of time before you buy a model.
Yeah. I kind of think that there might have to be a limit on it, you know? Like, if you're someone who's quite clearly been playing the game for a long, long time, and you're turning up with paper dolls, say, for the Union, and you've got, like, a Vet Rage kill team, and you've brought Veteran Fangtooth, and, at that point, like, come on, man, maybe you're kind of abusing it, you know?
Yeah, I get where level 4 abuse come in, but you know what nerds are like.
Mm.
Like, dude.
Game is game things.
I'm a cheap get, right? And I really need to want something to buy it, or I need an incentive. I've never bought, in terms of miniatures, I've never bought anything at full price if I can help it.
Mm.
Like, if even if it's only a fiver off,
yeah,
I'll be cheap if I can get.
The standard third-party web store like discount that everywhere gets, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be on the Facebook group trying to nickel and dime trade, going, come on, dude. Dude, you know, it ain't worth that much.
What's your best price you can get?
Don't RRP me, motherfucker.
Oh my god, like them people buying boxes of like the Exiles and stuff.
Yeah.
And then selling them for more than the individual mod.
Yeah.
£7.50. If you're paying more than £7.50 for any of them boxes that have been split up, please have a word with them, because they're just trying to.
I almost get the split though, like they're, you know, you get to that one guy like £45 for a box, £8 for the model, but I don't really want the model, fuck it, I'll take the hit,
whatever.
But like, fucking for me, I even if I went into Guild Ball and I were like going, I'm cheap as fuck, I'm only going to need paper model, it's only so long I could do that and not just buy some fucking model. It's like having painted versus not painted. Even if you go, oh, should guy be able to just base them and then just call it a day? For me, yeah, they're on the board, the model for that. But yeah, for me, my thing goes, but I really like playing with painted models.
Yeah.
And I think even if you go, oh, it's got ripe for abuse, I honestly think in communities like this, people like playing with painted model actual team, and I don't care how cheap you are, then I can all. But the second you knock your paper model from your hand, you go, fuck it, just get hand me that metal mash.
Yeah,
like, yeah, there's no, even the cheapest guy on the planet can't hold a metal mash model and a paper doll in the hand and go, I'll be satisfied with that paper doll forever.
Yeah,
man, I feel like really getting down on what, like, the other aspect of the game. Kind of mean that we're a bit weird on topic today, aren't we?
Yeah, sort of pinballed all over the place.
I don't mind it. In fact, kind of nice to air from your kind of thoughts and feelings on the game. But like, none of them particularly warrant a full episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, just be able to get down and go, yeah, people should be able to play unpainted at the tournament, in my opinion. Yeah, I think painted makes you play better in a fractional way, but in a way that might make a difference when push really comes to shove.
I think that sort of tournament level stuff is more like at the forefront of our minds because we're running one like now.
Yeah, a national coming up more importantly.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, we're going to be national. For me, the ultimate outcome of national is that me and you duke it out for first place. Like, I know your attitude, you can always a bit more on the, you know, humble side, actually. Like, I'm arrogant to that, but I'm kind of arrogant for the sake of amusing myself.
Yeah.
Like, for me, a joke is meant to entertain me first, and if it makes someone else laugh, that's just a nice benefit. But yeah, when I tell some horrible joke that makes people shocked and horror and go, how dare you tell me to divorce my wife? If I get a little chuckle out of it, I go, worth it.
Yeah.
So my arrogance is kind of more born out of, you know, a sociopathic desire to amuse myself through other people suffering. But you're actually, you know, quite humble. And I know you have a hard time kind of pumping yourself up anyway. But for me, that's what makes it even more... Like, if I got wiped to the floor with a national, right? Which is a fucking possibility. I could get killed all day. And there are plenty of people I've lost to who I shouldn't have done. I could get there on a bad day and I could get reamed. But if you turn around and went, I've just been fucking killing it today. Grand finals, motherfucker. I'm fighting it out to find out who's first and second place now. And I would just at the bottom of the table. It'd amuse me even more, in a way. You know, even if you're like, oh, I can't believe Alex got first place and I didn't. I really wanted to play. I'd be like, the fact people were sleeping on this fucker and you were crushing him. I'd be cackling away in my head even if the way you got into winning by beating me first round. I'd be like, fuck, I wasn't expecting that. That feeling of like, fucking with people's expectations. I love that about this game. So common, so often. In tournaments, just in regular play, that feeling of you weren't expecting that. You thought you had this and now you don't get it. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I almost want to try and instill that in you in a weird way. I know you're like going, you know, you always feel like you're in the eternal loop bracket and you're just, I'm waiting for you to tip over that knife edge and, you know, take your rightful place in the winner's circle, which I honestly think you've deserved. There are plenty of people you've locked on and I've gone, Alex is a better player than that guy. Like, that just, and a few of them, I'm like, man, that's just sheer bad fucking luck. Like, you played better, you should have won that game, and sheer bad luck, or flat out, you hand them the win. But there's so many people, yeah. Getting into that, I kind of want to instill that kind of like going, a motivation to win isn't just to win.
It's fuck. Not enough that I win, you have to lose.
Yeah, it's that feeling of like going, you looked at my long shanks, motherfucker, didn't you? You call that record and you go, oh, I'm a fucking, ooh, rubbing the hands together. Oh, my shoeing out. I'm going, yeah, I'm going to fucking crush this guy. Look at him. Oh, shit, most of the clock into a farmer. Never mind. That counts. But I'm like going, and then that feeling of like going, shit, this guy was meant to lose. Like, I've been watching, you know, that, I've been watching UFC and shit.
Yeah.
I watch a show called Ultimate Fighter. And that's like, you know, reality TV show shit. A bunch of guys get together in the fight out for first place.
Yeah.
And there was one show I was watching where a guy had lost a previous competition and they get to pick, like, who fight who.
Yeah.
Like, two coaches might fight or whatever. And the one coach goes, oh, I'll pick my strongest guy because he's the weak link.
Yeah.
And he'll lose. And the guy who picked out the weak link got really fucking pissed off. And he took himself a bit too seriously for my liking. But it made it all the funnier when he beat the fucking guy. Because his thing was like, I was meant to lose.
Yeah.
Like, my job in this world was to lose the game. And that was the enjoyment I got out of it. Like, going, ha, you fucking clown. You slept on it, didn't you? You didn't train, you didn't prepare, because you thought you were meant to win this guy for fucking chewing. Came for like when you play a championship player, a guy who's really fucking good, who thinks he's gonna, you know, who can shoe in for the tournament on.
Yeah.
Like, going, the fact I'm playing against him. Man, I fucking love that.
It's like when that first round at Vengeance, when the draw went up, and the lads I was there with, they all immediately started laughing when they see that I've been drawn against Jason Mountain, single out, right?
Yeah, the Mountain.
And as I was going over to that table, I was just going, like I said, I was thinking, probably not going to win this, but hey, there's a chance I could always win. And I was just thinking, at that point, I didn't even want to win because I wanted to win. I wanted to win so I could walk back over to them and just go, fucking what? Like, you said I was going to lose that. You said I had no chance. Like,
yeah.
I'm fucking untouchable. Obviously, I was touchable.
They've got all the joke in there, where it's like a magazine cover, and it's like a guy in a wheelchair, and he goes, the doctor said I'd never walk again, and then underneath it says, I have to commend them on their spot on diagnosis. like you on the front of Gilball magazine, going like, they thought I would lose against Jason Mountain, I have to commend them for their accurate prediction. Because they were completely correct. And I was happy too, because I bet money on Jason Mountain to win. man, it's, we're national coming up. We're going to, I imagine, with our schedule being so big, I've said before, I don't like preparing for, I've got like a bit of a feedback loop thing going on at the minute. I half wonder that's where I'm coming from. Like, the feeling of wanting to play a shitload of games and going like, oh, I've got to get practicing for national. Like, I've done fine not practicing so far.
Yeah.
Like, and I wonder if just practicing a shitload of games, it's just going to instill bad habits. Like, I've got, oh, I do this and I do that. And I go, that's almost kind of my feeling on practicing games. I'm trying to instill a I'm trying to formulate a strategy for winning every time.
Yeah.
Like, practice game. Instead of going like, the fact I practice so little and I mainly just play against you and play one game a week, usually top.
Yeah.
Two games a week if our schedule can clear. Like, I half wonder if that's a big part of it. Like, half the reason I have a good time being reactive with people, I practice so little.
Yeah.
And it'll get what we're thinking on it from last episode. I've been mulling over it a bit more and going, I get to take people afresh every time instead of going, when I practice against Alex all the time, I always do this and it works.
Yeah.
I always do that and it pays off. And there are some like jank players that are just great.
Yeah,
like that Hearn teleport is never not going to be a great player. Yeah. I fucking try that every time. Even if I miss the goal and meet Hearn, I like going, fuck, worth the try. I'm not sure what prep to do for national than just playing a player and just hopefully fucking crush people. I don't know. Maybe going the usual, going with the right attitude.
Yeah.
But you don't need to hear that speech again.
Yeah.
I think I'll do another Rocky thing. I honestly think that I do a bad job of communicating it a lot. I think you're a better player than I think you are. And I think even on your best day, where you're like going, "We've got vengeance, I'm going to kill a motherfucker," I still thought, even when you were that pumped up, you still don't realise how good of a player you are. I feel like you're a great player on a bad loot, on like a bad luck run. Like, it's not like you're a shit player playing to the standard that you need to play at. Like going, yeah, the guy who's medium blue thing, whatever. Mm. My thing with me, like going, I'm such a good fucking player, you know, from cards, you know, from team, you know, from fucking game. And it's just like going, when the fucking drought breaks, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to fucking get into the tournament, like a tournament where you're walking away with that gold die and going, like, I'm just there going, fuck, I can't believe you beat me to get that fucking if I get second one more time, fucking. Mm. Yeah, national. If I get second at national, I quit. Third, fine. But if I get second at
you got quite a good collection of silver dice now.
I would do, but they didn't have it in the last fucking tournament. I've got one silver die, and I'm quite happy with that at the time. It was completely surprised because I didn't even know they were prying at my first time.
How many tournaments have you actually been to?
Not many. I've been to about three or four.
I think it's either three or four, and you've won two. Prick.
I'm second at two.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. I'm second at two.
That, for me, that's first place for nothing.
Yeah, you're king of the losers.
Yeah, don't count. Yeah, fucking second. I immediately threw them back in the bin.
Should we call it?
Should we call it, yeah. How long have we been rambling for? We've been rambling on for a fucking hour now.
Yeah, let's do some... Should we do some shameless plugging?
For the top?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
20th of October, Leodis Games, 16 players. Spaces are filling up fast because we've taken two of the spaces.
I'm looking for... No, that's what I'm going to call the next tournament. The firm program, the Shill Factory.
Yeah. So, 20th of October, it's going to be after Season 4 drops the week before at SteamCon US. So we're going to be playing Season 4 rules if there's a PDF available.
Yeah, I really want to get a good... I want to be one of the first on to get the Season 4 shit in.
I think we will be, you know. Like, thinking about it, it will drop at SteamCon US the weekend before. We are the Saturday following it dropping.
Yeah.
Like, I can't... So if you want to come play Season 4 with a bunch of people who don't really know what they're fucking doing, because, I mean, I tell you what, you're probably going to have a substantial advantage if you read the rule book.
Yeah. Man, I'm really looking forward to the change. I really am. And I think, yeah, just having that first week out, fresh, everyone.
It's gonna have real excitement.
It's gonna be fucking 2.5 hours in game, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone parking the clock to check the fucking rule coming out. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna put. What I'd like to do is, because it's 16 players, so 8 tables. I'd like to print off like 8 page like changes, like like FAQ style.
Well, they've got a big whiteboard, haven't they, at Leiden?
Oh, of course they have,
we can just write on the wall and stuff, and having a little handout to go, here are the major changes. You can't do that shit on Kickoff anymore.
I imagine that Perkins and Bryce will be all over podcasts like a couple of weeks before, like giving you the lowdown on changes, you know, or like arranging pre-records to then drop on US, when it comes out at US.
Yeah. Should we speculate on any model that have yet to come out so they can get released the day after we've recorded?
Yeah, that's how I think. So because Fangtooth dropped the day after we spoke after it, so
for the people listening, what model do you want revealed?
So Veteran Angel, that's how I think.
Veteran Angel. What would you even give Veteran Angel? You know, I went on the forum, like, you know, on the official forum for Guild Ball.
Yeah.
They talk about Angel a fair bit on the Fisherman forum, and the general, it blows me away how underrated the viewer.
She's amazing.
Almost universally, right? They had like a thing of like, you know, King can fall changing, what do you want?
Yeah.
And almost universally, people were like, Angel, give it to inch melee. Like, no, you fucking don't.
Please do. Please do.
Fuck off. I'm like, going, are you kidding me with this shit? She can get 12 pick fucking kick, 10-5 on her, on just for nothing. And it's like, yeah, you're going there like going, oh shit, 200 melee, it'd be good. It fucking would, wouldn't it? She can't have it. Like, yeah, like, sometimes I do wonder, like, have I got some, like, specialised brain tumour or any shit that, like, are we, like, is there a carbon monoxide leak in the cow? We both look at Angel Card and just results that out there. Like going, oh my god, Cooper Shot and Corsair Legendary. And people are on the forum going like, she doesn't have Cooper Shot. How long?
Yeah, wait for that.
We've been playing with Keith and one card. we just happened to be using the Gilball app that hadn't been updated. I was going, fucking watch and get 10-5 kicks, you can't fuck. Yeah, that, man. Yeah, who left in the end? Oh, but the, we've got
Calculus and Veteran Cinder.
Veteran Cinder.
Yeah, it's definitely a blacksmith one.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit, for a... I want Veteran Calculus to go on there. Let's speculate on her. I want to have Intensify, Furia, and I want to have a...
So you want Veteran Catalyst?
Yeah, I want two Veteran Catalyst. And, yeah, I just want one character player. She's like a blank card. Giro, Giro, Giro. And it's just the one that you go, completely copy the stack for Veteran Calculus.
Yeah, like Hulk and She-Hulk style.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've got tooled up. That's all I want. Fucking hell, she's tooled up.
On a serious note, I think Cinder is going to change quite drastically. If you look at if you look at the artwork, she's ditched the crossbow. She's got a spear sort of thing that's glowing at the end, like Furnace's swords. Yeah, I think she's going to go to a 2-inch melee, like spear one.
Do you think we're going to make her a captain? Like a master?
No.
I've heard that she's got like a... I thought that'd be the thing, wouldn't it? A veteran version of an apprentice could become a master.
Yeah, I think it's been shouted about before. Someone mentioned journeyman, but I don't know if that was just a suggestion.
Yeah. Ooh, all speculation. It's all changing. Every fucking week there's some new shit to ring through.
That's what's so great about this game and like the release schedule.
Yeah.
It's constantly new shit.
I'm hoping it don't get too overboard. I'm looking forward to the actual almost like chill out period where the game can settle.
Yeah.
And the actual
like season 4 drops, there's a month of just mania and then the dust can settle and the game can just
grow
into what it's gonna be for the next year or a couple of years.
With every new team and model, you're gonna have that surprise factor where Falcon can gonna ruin everyone's day for a bit. Ratcatcher gonna ruin everyone's day for a bit, Navigator can gonna be fucking re-rolling all their failed dice and then crushing everyone.
They got short tack, short playbooks though. They've got weak kicks.
But fucking re-rolling, man. Too good. Really fucking good. You could have two kick on every other model and I almost feel like taking...
2 is 4.
Yeah, it almost feels like taking re-rolling 2 dice again, you know, almost feels better than 4 dice.
Yeah.
I don't know, statistically, it's not really the fucking game, but it kind of feels...
like you get your chance again.
Yeah, doesn't it? Like, man, I can't wait to get them on the board. I like look at model. I just want them cards in my hand.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everything else could not be revealed. No artwork. The card could just be blank, but if I actually knew what was on them. Man, for me, that's the meat of the game. Just looking at the cards and fairy crafting. So yeah, we're looking forward to a veteran Kinder having 5-inch melee.
Yeah.
And, when she ends her... If you end in her engagement, she automatically sets you on fire and apply gut and string.
Yeah. You get, she gets 12 VP for a goal.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? She's only got 1-inch, 1-inch move, and like 1-inch, 1-inch kick, but she gets a goal. She gets everyone just packing the ball to her. Just don't take that idea. That's a terrible idea.
#FTS.
Alright, guys.
Should we actually sign off this time?
Yeah, like, call it.
Right, sign up to the event. It's only £10. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.